Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to the Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chase. And today we are predicting the 2025 WWE Royal Rumble. Now, the Royal Rumble is probably the best WWE pay-per-view. I think most of us can agree. So I had to get someone very, very special to predict this show with me. You know, I had to call in some medical assistance. I needed a doctor. I needed the one and only Dr. Fed from What Culture Wrestling. It's Michael Hamflett. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Stephanie. What an introduction. Thank you very much. Look, I'm just happy to take everybody's temperatures. And yeah, it's Royal Rumble season. It's boiling hot. It's we're good to go. I figured like what we'll do is if you want, rather than it just being me, why don't we just get like a countdown and a klaxon going and then just like a new person can join every couple of minutes, and just by the end, there'll be all 30 across the screen, you know?
That would have been amazing. Yeah, this is quite the forbidden door moment, isn't it? Having you here from
absolutely.
Yeah, some people
I'm very honored, man.
Some people say I'm a better forbidden door broker than Tony Khan. I don't know. Some people say that. But Michael, you are known as Dr. Fed, the man that loves the Fed more than anything else. So how excited are you for the 2025 Royal Rumble?
Out of 10 and after that Punk and Cody promo, about an 11. The thing with the Rumble is obviously it's this, I think, like widely accepted take at this point that Triple H hasn't figured it out yet. It's just about the only thing in the last couple of years that he's not quite got a grasp on. And that's not to say that the last few of the Vince McMahon era are any good, because they weren't. They were mostly all trash. But it's this gimmick that people still love and still get excited for. And this year in particular, the way, and last year to a lesser extent, but this year in particular, the way it's been booked, I'm just so impressed with how we're not just going to be talking about the winner and how important it is, you know, whoever the winner is, whatever title they're going to go for, and how exciting but up in the air WrestleMania feels. I feel like they've done an amazing job of setting things up for the 29 other losers as well. Yeah. It's so important to win this match that there's going to be, you know, 29 or at least several main eventers that are going to be devastated to have lost it. And what happens to them as much as what happens to the winners after the fact. And it just, they've got to get it right in terms of match quality this year. They have to. It seems too well set up for this, not the men's one at least, to not be like matches.
Clarify, we're talking about the men.
Yeah.
We're talking about the men here.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say, I don't want to sort of jump ahead of some not very nice things we're going to say in this preview. But yeah, all my excitement and heart is currently harnessed around the men's one because basically I'm matching the energy of the WWE creative team. I feel like.
Sure.
They'll get what they're given in terms of the women's one, unfortunately. But yeah, last night's Raw, an all-timer go-home kind of like pay-per-view setup as well. They've laid the table perfectly for the men's match.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a fellow person over here in outside the US, the UK and Ireland, how are you feeling about this Netflix era? I freaking love it. Like, I just wake up in the morning now, put on some WWE. It's so easy. I enjoy it so much. I don't even need the quality to be that great. I think just the ease of watching everything has just made me like so much more invested. I love it.
It's fantastic, isn't it? It's like, yeah, anyone that's maybe listened to our podcast before, we're all dads, we're all dadlies. And so much of my wrestling consumption typically will be between a laptop screen or a television or a phone, depending on what device I've been kicked off of by my kids, or if I'm needing to like watch something on the train to work or anything like that. And just, yeah, how available and easy and functional Netflix is. I'm with you. I'm not some sort of, I'm not like a quality nonce. I don't need everything in super high 4K HD or whatever, but even generic Netflix quality is good. The ad breaks over here where it fades down and fades back up. It could, like, the service couldn't be better. It's not like they've sort of signed on with one of the lesser streaming services.
Yeah.
It is now the equivalent of terrestrial television, isn't it? I think about what it would have been like to be a kid and have this when I was younger. The fights you had to go through just to watch anything when you were younger, when you're kind of our generation, where Sky was such a premium service or videos were so expensive, or even, you know, like the first flushes, I guess, of like DVDs and box sets and things like that. Wrestling was never cheap and easy. And now it's one of the first things you're likely to see when you like turn on on most smart TVs. It's still kind of blowing my mind that this is what wrestling is on.
Same, like, as someone that doesn't like or follow any sports whatsoever, I was such a hater of BT Sports, just for like trying to like take so much money from me just to watch some WWE when I wasn't interested in anything else. And even just like Netflix, just already having it anyway, like without WWE being on it, it feels like it's free as well. It feels like the first time WWE's been free in like a long time.
Unlike BT Sports, I would like happily get on a Netflix bus at this point.
I'd get on a Netflix bus too.
Just ride around promoting the Fed. I'd be more than happy to. Give me a flag. I'll wave out the window, something like that. I'll take a free interview with some mid-carder. I don't care.
I never ended up on a BT bus. I never ended up on a BT bus. I went to, remember when BT Sports changed to TNT Sports, but it didn't mean anything for wrestling? I went to me and Benna went to a like TNT Sports launch party, got some free drinks and food. That was the best thing that happened to me. TNT Sports didn't get a free subscription though.
It should have been weirder that like AEW and WWE were both on TNT for a brief period, but it did just mean nothing over here, didn't it? That was never a thing.
There was a AEW press conference. I think it was Revolution, maybe 2023, maybe. And I tried to ask Tony about this. And like, it was like a no answer thing. Like, I think he was like, what the hell are you on about? But like, I was really putting together like that there could be something here. Like TNT Sports is coming to the UK. They've got the WWE. Your ITV thing is, in my opinion, not very good, whatever, like trying to like get there. But no one was picking up on it, or like no one cared. But for a while I really thought something could happen there, but like it didn't.
I think this is it now. Like in contrast to like, and HBO Max, again, it's not something we experience in the UK, but it's such a cool service for AEW to be a part of.
Yeah.
Both of them feel like they're exactly where they belong. You know, like WWE's with the market leader and Netflix. AEW's got its HBO like pedigree, at least as a premium service. It's got that kind of branding that I think AEW fans would like to attach to their brand of wrestling. It all does feel, the universe feels in balance now, doesn't it, with where the wrestling is, with where it lives.
For sure. My I did not realize my camera would be this wide. And like, I wish I could show you my bed, right, in the least creepy way. But I'm in my mom's house, right? So I'm in my like teenage bedroom, and the bed cover I have on is a 2001 WWE bed cover. So you can see like the red, and like that's it turned around. So turned around is all the logo. The other side is the Dudley Boys, Triple H, Test, and like many other people on it. And that is what's currently. So for anyone that could see that in the video, like you're seeing, I will send you a photo of it. It's quite a magnificent relic. But yeah, I do have a WWE bed cover on.
I was like, people that have maybe listened to me bang on about the Fed and everything about it before, I do love that sort of branding. And the ring, the most recent ring on Raw, where there was sort of ads around the side and just a massive Fed logo in the middle. Yeah. That's like my childhood ring come true. You know, it's the same as the action figures ring the Hasbro had when I was a kid with a massive block logo in the middle. Like, I can't believe this took them this long to make a ring that looks that beautiful. You know, the New Japan ads around the side, but then just that WWE logo, crisp and clean and in the middle. It's just like again, it's a part of the Netflix move and all of that, but I'm so glad we finally got to the point where it can look as good as that, or like a 2001 red and black branded bed sheet, you know, like rings could have looked this good all along. And yet it was just, no, it can't have anything. And now they've finally kind of like got over that hurdle with the first year of Prime or whatever. Mm-hmm. These rings look gorgeous. I think even the bright blue SmackDown one, I think looks tremendous.
Yeah, man, the wild merch I have in this house. I definitely grew up as a kid that got too much stuff. I found a WWE lunchbox the other day, also from that like 2001 era, which of course I did not bring my stuff to lunch to school in a WWE lunchbox, but you know, why not? Well, right.
Can I ask though, like in terms of your merch from that era, because obviously Benno and Hamlet in your house, available wherever you get your podcasts, Benno's kind of let me in on some of your early favorites as a kid. Mm-hmm. So what I'm asking, while this feels opportune, is just how much of your merchandise was Spray Club Business? Like how much of it was Dead Man centric at that point?
So much. And I actually, I if people are interested in some of my merch, I did a YouTube video about some of it. I have a ton of Undertaker stuff because when I was like 12, at the height of my Undertaker fandom, I went to Florida as a kid. So I have like this weird Undertaker thing where the eyes follow you around the room, like a portrait thing. Yeah, I've got
like being in the locker room in the 90s.
Got like this big Undertaker flag that like says like Dead Man on it. I've got like so many Undertaker action figures. I've got this weird one that was in my old background in my old videos, which is just really sexy, to be honest. It's the only way I can describe it. But yeah, I have like a ton of Undertaker stuff. And yeah, there is definitely, and I think I even made like a short of just the Undertaker stuff, but like, yeah, I have way, way too much Undertaker stuff.
I like that you've defined the eras now. So we've got like, you know, the undead zombie, the biker taker, the American badass, the dead sexy era, just all the famous Undertaker eras, you know?
Oh yeah, I know. I don't have much of him like in the American badass and stuff because he just really upset me then when he came out as biker. But like the goth stuff, like that's the sexy Undertaker era, like 97, 99. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope he's not watching. I mean,
me too, quite honestly.
I have to keep a lid on it because, like, Michelle, I don't know if she still does, but she at least used to follow me on Twitter. So I just, you know, I had to keep a lid on the kind of stuff I said.
She rocks up in Royal Rumbles, man, she'll kick your ass. Like, she can still go.
She can still go. Well, I guess we have to talk about the Royal Rumble, Michael. Mm-hmm.
My fault.
No, it's my fault. I just love talking to you so much that hopefully, you know, we could do that in person soon. Okay. But yes, some big plugs. Before we get going, let's first hear from our sponsors at Bet Online.
For years, you've seen Bet Online AG's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline AG. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline AG.
BetOnline AG. Right, Michael, we've spent a lot of time talking about non-Rumble stuff. So let's start off with a match that we probably don't have much to say on. It is DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus Motor City Machine Guns. It's 2 out of 3 falls for the WWE Tag Team Championship. Michael, any strong thoughts on DIY and the Motor City Machine Guns?
Not really. And that's sort of the problem, isn't it? Like, I think what this has got going for it, and this is not to just neg the match completely, but what this has got going for it is obviously the Rumble's 4-match card, and we don't expect maybe like one at a push to get added, or maybe something on as a kickoff for the people in the building. A stadium that are only getting 4 matches, even though 2 of them are Rumbles, means that they're probably going to be hotter for a standard match.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is the only other thing outside of 2 Rumbles and a massive title main event potentially that is, you know, a normal match. So if nothing else, they've got that going for them. I think the sort of the SmackDown tag division has been booked marginally better than the Raw one. But the problem that they've had is that there's not been much work put into getting characters over. It's more been about just getting teams on there in numbers. So you just have constant loops of the same teams working each other. So even though I don't feel like I've seen much of DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns, I feel like I've seen a version of it every single week. I prefer DIY as heels. I like Johnny Gargano finally get to lean back into being more of a clown than a serious wrestler. They were coming out to silence for months and months and months, and it's finally, as if Triple H has been forced to try something different with them. And to be honest, I don't see much of a future for the Guns as faces. So I think I want them to lose, if only because that then you can start getting the cocky peak era Guns, you know, kind of like them at their absolute best in TNA. I think they're characters that Triple H will understand how to book. I think the match will be good, but not to be too broad about it, but you get good wrestling on TV every single week. I don't know that we're in the DIY revival years for, you know, this kind of pairing ultimately. I don't want to be critical of good action, but it's just, there's good action all the time, isn't there? You stand to get a better match potentially out of a standard Dynamite or a good Raw than DIY versus the Motor City Machine Guns, in my opinion.
I think it's going to be a good match. There are 4 really good hands, but I can't say I'm excited for it. It'd be interesting to see where they put it in the card, because I think it might be like a bit of a breather for people, or if they put it first, it's a get your snacks ready for people as well. I think I can see Motor City Machine Guns winning it. I think I think they're kind of, that's what they're brought in to do, like lead the tag division. So I can see them just going for that and hopefully maybe get some new opponents after that. Who have you got, Michael?
I've got DIY for this one, but because I feel as though they're trying, and like, fair play to Gargano and Ciampa, they're trying to get Pretty Deadly, I think, over as baby faces. So what we might have here is that Pretty Deadly are the difference makers. They actually help them win. Ciampa isn't so keen on working with Pretty Deadly. Gargano seems happy stringing them along. And the whole point has been on TV. Gargano saying, look, you work with us and you're going to get your title shot. And then he's like, well, you'll lose when you face us, but you'll get your title shot. And I quite like the idea of Gargano being too stupid and underestimating Pretty Deadly. Like, Pretty Deadly by force of will, considering that they're like NXT UK call-ups, and I am inherently like distrustful of NXT UK wrestlers. Yeah. They've kind of really won me over in the last couple of years. And I could actually see them, if this kind of continues on as it does, I could sort of see them getting the kind of babyface momentum that Awesome Truth did this time last year. And, you know, just that like nice WrestleMania pop where the tag division, you know, get thrown in a multi-man or a ladder match or whatever. And then it's just, they become like the sentimental favorites. I think you might get that with Pretty Deadly. And in order to do that, they probably need to help DIY here. So I'll go with DIY for this one.
Yeah, I think you might have convinced me, because I wasn't thinking about the Pretty Deadly of it all. And I do like them a lot. And they felt a bit like stale for a while. And this them, like, I like those guys, and they could get a good moment out of it. It's always unfortunate though when you're talking about a match of 2 teams and you're actually more interested in the team that's not a part of the match.
that's it.
All right, let's move on to the Women's Royal Rumble and try and get a bit more hype for this than WWE has given us. So I'm just going to read how many people are women are announced for this. There's 10 women announced, which for men, there's 15. But for some reason, like, that's not that much more than 10, but like, this feels so much less. So we have Nia Jax, Bayley, the returning Charlotte Flair, Naomi, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Lyra Valkyrie, Ivy Nile, and Io Sky. Where to start in this one? I think that the Rumble being such a good match sometimes means that they're just lazy and don't book it. And they've absolutely done this for the women. Like, we'll get onto the men. It's been great. But for the women, it's been nothing more than people just announcing that they're part of the Rumble. And where would you like to start on this? Is there anyone that stands out to you?
So obviously, it's probably best to start with, somebody who would want us to start with her in Charlotte Flair.
Yes.
She'll want the conversation to be about whatever she does at the Rumble, even if she doesn't win. You know, you want the comeback to be strong. She's a wrestler that's never really spent much time under Triple H's creative. She hadn't been back all that long before she had the terrible injury. And obviously, it was awful to see her get that kind of injury, but it's been quite interesting having so much of this era that has been, you know, in my opinion, rightfully celebrated as a creative like boom for WWE without somebody that defined the last decade in a Charlotte Flair. So it's almost like we're still waiting to see how she fits in this kind of contemporary era of WWE. So that's interesting to me. Seeing that so many new or different people that she's going to work with, considering that for the longest time, you kind of weren't anyone in that division unless you'd had a go around with Charlotte Flair. Mm-hmm. Now it's flipped, and now it's up to Charlotte Flair to have a go around with a bunch of new people. So that, like, it has my interest. It's funny you mention about how, you know, there's 10 in the women's and 15 in the men's. It is about quality over quantity. Of those 15, the vast majority have been booked as mega quality entrants who make this match even bigger. Whereas with the women, as you point out, it's just, oh God, we need some women. You go out there and name yourself. You go out there and name yourself. It's like the Oprah Winfrey meme, isn't it? You get a Rumble place. You get a Rumble place. There's no sense of urgency from any of them. Lyra Valkyria hasn't defended her Intercontinental title, and she's just, sod it, I'll go in the Rumble.
The wildest one, like the way like she just announced was like, okay. Yeah.
You want to believe that the people in the match care about being in the match. And this is, for me, just all the criticisms, and there's not enough, I don't think, all the criticisms of the booking of the women's division in WWE that they would typically try and pretend aren't happening and hide. It's almost as if this Rumble has revealed how true they all were. You know, the best booking probably in the women's division of late has been with someone like Chelsea Green. And she doesn't necessarily need to be anything to do with this match because she's doing great things with the United States title. So I'm kind of looking towards, if not a Charlotte Flair, possibly a return in Becky Lynch. Maybe a return in Nikki Bella. I'm really keen to see how she might slot in against somebody else that would have an entire new slate of people to work with, who I think had like a very underrated in-ring period. I've fond memories of her like stuff with Carmella in the like the early SmackDown Live period, and how she kind of interacted with the Four Horsewomen a little bit. I think Nikki Bella's contributions at the time weren't necessarily praised enough in ring.
I agree.
She had to get rid of the rack attack because it was like she'd done her own neck in doing it, things like that. I'm kind of looking towards the likes of AJ Lee, possibly as a surprise entry, if only for the huge pop on the night. If she was to come out at number 30 and light it up, just sends the building into hysterics. I think there's moments to be found here, but you'd be fooled for thinking there were none from what you've seen on TV.
I think Nikki Bella's the GOAT, right? She's my favorite woman of all time. I'd be so interested if she comes out as Nikki Bella or Nikki Garcia, because they made such a big thing about like that name behind. And it felt like they did that when they maybe felt differently about the company, but we'll not get into all that. But it's just interesting, like, now that if she is going to come back. I feel like the way it's been booked, that I do think it's set up for either Charlotte or someone we don't know about to win it. Charlotte almost feels like too obvious. And I think that she either wins it and gets her match with Tiffany, or she gets to the match with Tiffany in some way, but I think like that's kind of where they're going. Becky Lynch returning would be big. I think AJ Lee returning would kind of break the internet. I just really hope that it's not like a Rumble that's just like full of these moments, like, you know, you're like Michelle McCool getting up from the crowd, or you know, Kelly Kelly coming into a spot where like you have so many moments that you actually can't, you know, it's actually a pretty bad match and it's just with all this filler. But the way that the women that have been announced are, I just don't see any of them as a strong favorite. And I'm more looking, I'm looking at who would be a great opponent for Rhea at Mania. And I think that Rhea's best opponent ever is Charlotte, but it's been done so many times, and all the stuff with Tiffany makes me think that. So yeah, maybe a returning Becky Lynch, because Becky Rhea, I think, would be huge. I think, do you think Jade Cargill is going to come back for it, since they have been keeping her name out there?
Yeah, I hope so. There's the nice possibility, isn't there, of Naomi already being in the match and feigning that she's really pleased to see Jade Cargill, but there's a little bit of fear in the eyes, because if it is her that's, you know, committed the attack, then, oh God, I didn't expect her back this soon or something like that. I'm with you. I don't want to see this match just sacrificed for cheap entrance pops. I want a few. It's a Rumble, but, you know, it's, and you know, I extend this to the men's match as well. I want to see things develop within the match, like all the best Rumbles that can set up stuff down the line. I will give credit to WWE for one thing with last year's Women's Rumble. Do you remember how, so when you had obviously Bayley win it, there was that shot of the last four or five sort of slumped against the guardrail, and all of them ended up in the Elimination Chamber. So there is the, they don't need to do a like for like of that, but if you sort of set up smartly a good Elimination Chamber full of the people that came close or the best rivals from the match, for example, it's there's 30 people. There's kind of no excuse not to tell a few stories and get a few things going for WrestleMania. Like Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill set up a match last year with that mirror spot, and they've not even gotten to it yet. There'll be a day for that. Jordynne Grace, I'd love to see her immediately. Well, I was gonna say make an impact, but like, she doesn't need to worry about that, no pun intended there. She can just, she can set something up now. She's here. It's for real. It's not just a cameo appearance, you know. So
I'd love her to get most eliminations or something, or something like that.
You can like something, one of those moments, like, you know, like Nia Jax has had like good Rumble form for the most part, but like, what if Jordynne Grace can like deadlift someone like a Nia Jax, and you get that incredible pop in the building on the night? It's just, have fun, you know, like there's so many characters with so many different things to offer. Have fun with it.
Yeah. I think if I had to predict someone that's been announced, I think I would go for Bianca, where it just plays into like a wider story with Naomi and Jade. Just because I like Bianca is kind of always one of the main women in the mix, and I think that she'd have a good match with Rhea. But I think my prediction is just Becky Lynch. It's someone that's not listed. It's a big return. Mm-hmm. It's something like that.
I think Charlotte Flair. I think Charlotte Flair is a safe prediction, but then maybe that's a hangover from the days when she was always a safe prediction. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a dark horse. They did, you know, they kind of sort of teased Io Sky and Rhea Ripley having something a little while ago, and Io has never really been back in contention since she lost the title to Bayley at last year's WrestleMania. So you could kind of bring that full circle for her at WrestleMania this year, and the match is almost definitely going to deliver. So I'd have her maybe as a dark horse, but I'm struggling to look past Charlotte Flair.
Do you see this kicking off the show?
Yeah, I think so. They like to split their two Rumbles up, which does make sense. And I just, the only way I think it doesn't kick off the show is if the men's Rumble goes first. And even then, I would imagine Cody and Kevin Owens would main event. I can't visualize a version of this card where the women's Rumble goes on last. It doesn't feel like they've done the work.
No. All right, well, speaking of the men's championship, we've got Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens in a ladder match where both belts, the Undisputed and Winged Eagle Championship, will be suspended above the ring, which they were in San Antonio. And so presumably they're moving that whole operation over. Michael, is there any chance that Cody Rhodes loses the championship this close to Mania.
I've got, you know, they always say you only ever need like 1% of doubt to make the finishes dramatic and make the big moments dramatic. I've got it. I've got the 1% of doubt, the booking of the men's division of late at that top of the card, both in terms of the fiction of it all and, you know, who's been working with who and who's connected, and the reality, the politics that we know are being played by this very, very crowded collection of main eventers in WrestleMania season, has kind of given me the 1% of doubt I need here. Like, why can't Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn be for the WWE title? Because a Cody versus Punk, or a Punk versus Roman, or a Cody versus Cena, once upon a time, we'd have said that those matches were big enough without a title, right? Like, I like that the main titles are in main events. That's what it should be. But all of the names that I've just listed and others can kind of carry the load of a WrestleMania main event without belts. So if you were wanting to slide the belt onto Kevin Owens, you probably could. If Punk was to win a Rumble, for example, and say if Roman was to win a Rumble and want a challenge for a title, something wild and out there like a Roman versus Gunther would still allow Kevin versus Sammy to be for a title. There are so many combinations currently of different title matches that that's what's making me doubt it. All of that is a very long way about saying, no, I think Cody Rhodes is going to retain, but I'm going to be gripped watching Kevin Owens try. I really want it, but I want it for Sammy and Kevin, I think, more than anything else. Like, that would be, what a story that would be, you know, but and it's a ladder match. Cody doesn't even need to get pinned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Wins it. Who am I kidding? Cody wins it.
I love it. I agree with everything you said, but yeah, I don't even have the 1% of doubt. Honestly, I think Cody wins it. I think the Elimination Chamber that's in Toronto, right? So I think Kevin and Sami get something there, like either both in like big matches or even facing each other, though that feels like it could be a Mania match. But I think they've done everything they can to give us the 1% of doubt, but like I don't have it. Like Cody... Yeah. It's just Cody's not losing it to Kevin Owens. Like, sorry, Kevin, but like they've done really well with it. And I think it's really hard when you have a champion like Cody that feels like they're like is going to be like a long-term champion and have been in such a big story with Roman. It's always hard to give you like a challenger that you can even believe in, like the 1%. And they've tried really hard with Kevin, and this has been going on like a long time. But I still don't have it. I think Cody's winning, and I think that's it. And I think it's, you know, great for Kevin. It's going to be a good match, but I don't see Cody losing at all. No.
I like the idea, if nothing else, I like the idea of there being some real high drama. For whatever reason, Sami Zayn is drawn out and we'll all get to see, will he help Kevin Owens as requested? What if Randy Orton returns, but bungles his interference and costs Cody? And then who knows, you've got Randy and Cody as something either for WrestleMania or sooner. And if you think about Kevin and Cody thing, all of that started with Randy Orton at the center of it as well. And he's got this, you know, there are people, and I'll never understand them, but there are people that care more about legacy lore than anything in WWE history. They'd want Ted DiBiase Jr. as the guest referee if they could get away with it. So Cody versus Randy, as some people, is as big as the business gets. So I think we're getting it one day. And it just, I'm trying to talk myself into it, even though I know deep in my guts. I just don't think the Punker goes head-to-head with Cody in one of the all-time great Raw segments to then be told, oh yeah, he's losing the belt though. It's too much on Cody's side, but I'd love to see it.
Man, I'd roll my eyes so hard if Randy Orton got involved, and I might just switch it off if he cost Cody. No, thanks, Randy. Enjoy your time off.
Do you not even like sort of Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man era Randy Orton, or like Michelin Man Randy Orton? I love it now that he just looks like a pack of hot dogs. Like he's I've never really cared about him, but he's just so ginormous. I kind of get a bit of a kick out of him now.
I mean, he looks wild, but he's just on my, like, you know, there's just some people you're sick of. I'm personally sick of Randy Orton. I mean, I was sick of him maybe like within 5 years of his debut, but it's really been going on too long now for me.
No, I get it. Like a Randy Orton match itself, it's been going on too long.
Let's just go on to the main event, because this is really why we're here. It's the Men's Royal Rumble. I'm gonna read out who's announced for this. And Michael, you can pick one person to talk about first. We have LA Knight, John Cena, CM Punk, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, Seth freaking Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Logan Paul, Penta, Chad Gable, Braun Breaker, Carmelo Hayes. Who would you like to start with, Michael? We're not going to go through all of them, of course. So sorry, Carmelo Hayes.
Now I'm going to have to go down the obvious route, Stephanie. It's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura, isn't it? We're going to... No, I'm joking. I'm gonna claim him if I'm allowed. It's gotta be the Punker. Like, I cannot wait to see CM Punk in this match. It was a totally different vibe last year. Obviously, he was just the mere fact he was coming back was enough. It was like, well, what's he gonna be like out there physically? How he's gonna be? You know, what tights is he gonna go with? Every aspect of it was just Punk is back. I just want to look at it. I didn't think he was gonna win. It always felt like Cody's year.
Yeah,
it's different gravy this year. It's serious business. It's the home straight. It's the other wrestlers that are starting to take little pot shots at him for never getting his main event. It's the fact that he put himself with Roman at Survivor Series time. He's put himself with Cody at Royal Rumble time, and he put himself with Seth at like Netflix debut time. He's basically calling shot after shot after shot of what he wants to do while he's still there, while he's still physically able, and like while he's still earning the spot. I think even his biggest haters can't pretend that this Punk run hasn't been fantastic. This WWE Punk run. The people that desperately want to despise him are still seeing him talk people into buildings, still seeing him have matches of the year with the likes of Drew McIntyre. I can't look past him, and I don't want to. I want and need CM Punk to win the Royal Rumble, if only so that The Rock can't ruin CM Punk's route to the main event. And because there isn't a bad CM Punk title match at WrestleMania. I'll take night one against Gunther as much as I would take night two against Cody or night two against Kevin Owens. CM Punk for a belt in the main event of WrestleMania is what 2025 is all about, I think.
I think CM Punk needs to finish his story, and that story is main event in WrestleMania. I think Punk's winning. I'll just say it now. I think Punk's winning. I hope Punk's winning. The ending of Raw was incredible. That, like, we talk about lore and like the Punk Cody lore that there is, and they, you know, that's without even mentioning AEW, but like there's Punk Cody lore, and you did a great tweet about it, but like this is a match that we've been waiting for. This is a match that it seems like Cody at one point thought he was getting before he decided to just fuck off. And I think that the time to do this stuff is now. And I think that there's a lot of matches that I want for Punk, and I would want him and Gunther. I would want him and Roman. I would want him and whatever. But I think we need to prioritize, and given the lore of what they can do with each other, all of it, like, I think Punk Cody is now, like, the time is now, and that is a WrestleMania main event. And the backstage politics are very interesting. Very interesting that, you know, The Rock just set fire to everything. It's interesting that I heard you guys discussing this today on your Raw review, but it's like interesting what's going on with Roman. Like, he almost seems like he's like taking some kind of backseat or doesn't care as much anymore. Like, I don't know, but maybe he's just like, okay, I can't win this. But CM Punk, yes, I think he's winning. What do you think is his Paul Heyman favor, and do you think it will factor into this match? Because I'm worried about what that is.
Yeah, I don't think WWE knew when they first set this up. Obviously they've booked and they've told stories and they've formed connections and bonds between wrestlers, or that's been such a feature of Triple H's booking over the last couple of years. So I'm not saying they had nothing in mind, but I don't think they maybe had it nailed down. The thing that worries me about the Paul Heyman favorite is that every bit of fantasy booking I read seems to involve Brock Lesnar, and I don't have any fantasy booking around Brock Lesnar. No. I've not fantasy booked Brock. I've not reality booked Brock Lesnar in about 10 years, let alone fantasy booked him. So it's like, I don't particularly like the idea of those characters sharing time on screen. You know, Drew McIntyre invoking the Beast on Raw, or the little, you know, I guess the idea that Brock is a guy that can play spoiler and just decimate people.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope the favor doesn't come into the Rumble. What I would like for the Punk babyface character is to maybe use his favor as like a, maybe he, for the Cody match or something, he employs the Bloodline to stop any interference with whoever might want to stop Punk winning the title or something like that. Mm-hmm. He just says, I want, you know, the Usos and Roman, they're going to be my guardians. You know how Cody had all of his Avengers last year? This idea that, you know how I helped you at War Games for your big night? You're going to help me at WrestleMania for mine. If anybody tries to... CM Punk's got a locker room full of enemies. If any of those enemies try and stop him getting his moment, there's Jey Uso with a super kick. You know, there's Roman Reigns with a spear in another one of those incredible WrestleMania everybody in type moments. Mm-hmm. I'd like it to just be nicer than employing a bad guy to do some bad work. Punk was revealing a little bit of himself in that promo with Cody that he's prepared to be the bad guy again to get it done. But I just don't want this favor to be tinged with evil. I don't want Brock.
I don't want Brock back. But I think they will bring him back at some point. Like I'm not naive. I think they're going to do it. But I don't want him with Punk. I think that's too messy. It's icky. Mix, I think it will reflect badly on Punk for doing it because, you know, Punk always has a lot to say. And I think this is one that he would be very hard for him to like live down. But I don't know what the favor is. I can't really think of anything other than maybe just Paul being in his corner rather than Roman's at WrestleMania time, him putting like his, you know, just him bringing Paul as his guy and them like working together and him kind of leaving Roman out, something like that. But really hope it's not Brock. But that it doesn't mean that I don't think we might not see Brock at this Rumble. Like I do think, he comes back at some time. The other guy I've heard some talk about is John Cena. I'll just say, I don't think it's John Cena just because I think he's going to have like a year of failures until we get deeper into the year. And I've never been a Cena person. I don't have any interest in Cena winning anything. And it just wouldn't excite me, but yeah.
I've got such mixed feelings on John Cena because they have kind of drawn me in because of the fact that there are so many new people. Basically, the generation that never got anywhere under John Cena are gone, and an entire new generation of people have been able to thrive in John Cena's absence are here. So there's so many new people for John Cena to interact with, and a Rumble is like a perfect way to have these little 2-minute interactions. But what physically are we getting from John Cena? Are we going to get one last 2016, 2017 miracle in-ring run, or are we going to get the Austin Theory WrestleMania 39 dogging it John Cena, who's kind of thinking about his career beyond wrestling? Like he's committed to doing the dates, but again, this becomes quantity versus quality. Just because he's going to do 40 shows or whatever, it doesn't mean that he's going to put in 40 nights of hard work. It could just be about seeing John Cena in your town or John Cena in the Rumble or in the Elimination Chamber. I'm with you. I think he's got to lose more than he's got to win. Yeah. And I think it's the ultimate irony that the guy that always won now can't buy a win for love nor money. I am desperate to see Punk and Cena have one of their messy, disgusting, brilliant matches one more time, because I just think their chemistry is pure ugly magic. I'm looking for, like, I've seen mad pitches for John Cena. What if they try and give him an Iron Man run and he almost proves just how up for it he is by going 60? He doesn't need to win, but he goes 60 minutes and you're like, well, I don't know how he'd have time to throw anybody out while he's brushing his hair back trying to cover his bald spot. Like, just either own it or shave it off. Because if he's doing that like he was in the run-in at WrestleMania last year, he's not going to have time to grab people. But, like, there is so much I want to see out of John Cena. But until we know what we're really dealing with, I think it's hard to fantasy book, you know?
I think it's going to be really interesting who the final four are. And I think the final four will include CM Punk and John Cena. I feel like unless there's something that happens to him that takes him out of the match, Roman Reigns being one, but that's unless he has something happen like Jacob comes in and just like destroys him. Yes. It's like a shock thing. And I think on Raw, like Logan Paul really like tried to make himself in the conversation. I could see him going far in it as well. I think that Drew and Seth both deserve to be towards the end just for like the work that they've done. Jey Uso as well. But I think other than Punk, Cena and Roman are really the guys I could see winning. But like, and I heard, did hear you guys talk about this on What Culture, I do think that Jacob's Saturday night main event thing was a little test of whether can be the guy to go up against Roman. And I think that we've been in this cycle for so long now with Roman and Cody and the title and the Rumble and Mania, everything feeling set. It would just be nice to see Roman not winning at all, and his path to Mania is Jacob Fatu, and I can see that happening. That's why I'm not really counting Roman, but I do think it's going to be really odd to watch Roman Reigns in a Royal Rumble just as a guy, not as, you know, just, it's
so strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of puts the Rumble over more that Roman is doing it. So fair play to the booking of Roman Reigns and the protection of that character, that him being in the match just elevates the match itself. But yeah, I'm with you. I can't yet visualize. Say like Roman Reigns gets eliminated and he's sat on the floor, arena floor, head in hands. Oh my God, I've been eliminated. I think it's going to happen because I think Punk is going to win. And yet I still can't visualize Roman in the spot having lost. I like the idea of him getting his Ulafala back. And thinking, right, here we go. Like, clear road back to the dominance, back to the title, back to I'm the tribal chief again. And then he hits a new stumbling block. And that stumbling block is caused by a Jacob Fatu. And he's now got to beat Jacob Fatu. As you say, like, what a weekend of tests for Jacob Fatu to pass. How amazing he came across. If that was kind of, let's see if you can make this weekend of shows all about you. He understood the assignment and he passed with flying colors. Somebody else who, again, I don't think is going to win, but I could see as an outside bet for the final four is Bron Breakker. Triple H loves protecting his titles, and Bron Breakker is clearly a favorite right now, but the Intercontinental Champion getting just about as close as you can get before being a top star and spearing his way through six or seven eliminations, still having loads of speed and loads of gas in the tank in that when you're down to that final four, and Punk will look knackered, and John Cena's John Cena, and Bron Breakker drilling Roman Reigns in a spear off the two of them, and Bron Breakker winning that battle. Like, there are so many things that you can do in a Rumble that give nothing away. Punk, we're the same, right? Cody and Punk is the dream match of all of wrestling, and we saw them have like a 4-minute mini match in last year's Rumble. They can give you so much in a Rumble and give you nothing at the same time. So I'd like Bron Breakker to have that kind of run.
I'd like Bron to eliminate Cena. I think the person that eliminates Cena should be someone like Bron. You know, I don't think it should be Punk, as fun as that would be. I think, you know, give it to someone that could use it, or just someone kind of younger that's interesting. So I'd like to see like Bron Breakker or even like, you know, a Logan Paul be the person that.
I was thinking Logan Paul. I'm thinking maybe Logan Paul and John Cena at WrestleMania, you know.
Oh, that would be that would be wild.
Could you imagine John Cena like criticizing Logan Paul for flogging neon shit to kids, and then Logan Paul, you're telling me that, John, and it just being like, again, no titles, just this daft box office extravaganza of this big new idiot off the internet and John Cena now a film star. Like, it's got very sort of WrestleMania big stage energy, something like that. The kind of show where that can only happen at Mania.
I think John Cena's PR team are currently doing the research on whether or not it's a good idea for him to have a match with Logan Paul.
Scrap that. That's gone. That's out.
Is there anyone else that you'd like to talk about? I think we have done the people that are in with a chance. I think Penta will have a good showing just because, you know, fuck AEW is kind of how some stuff is. So, like, give Penta a good showing as well. And I've mentioned Seth and Drew too as just people that I think being like main characters in it. But I think there's no one else that stands out with me for a chance. But I think this is the most excited I've been for Rumble in a really long time. And I think the stories, It's just so intriguing. Are there any surprises you think are coming for the men? Anyone?
Oh, well, it's easier to book surprises for the women's, I think, because they've been so lackadaisical booking the match itself. With the men, I don't know if you need surprises. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there'll be one or two. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure whether it's hopefully not Brock, but like there's no current spot for the New Day, for example. But considering the heat they're getting on TV, it'd be nice if they were able to get a bit more serious. Like, for example, Kofi Kingston doing one of his elimination escapes, but doing it as a heel to wind up the crowd. So like every time a babyface tries to throw him out and they come up with some clever way to keep Kofi in, and you've completely subverted what that used to represent. I think that could be quite fun. I look for what happens with Sami Zayn, because if the Owens-Cody match goes before the men's match and Kevin Owens loses, will he come out and cost Sami Zayn to take revenge for his friend not helping him out? There's so many, like someone like a Seth, if and when he gets eliminated, how is he going to cope with that? Because this was, he needs this because he's just lost to Punk. He's at a bit of a low, you know, and like how he's not going to win this match. So how does he cope with losing? But surprises, honestly, on January the 5th, genuinely, I might have suggested Hulk Hogan, genuinely. But that now,
no.
Gone, thrown you out,
might,
you know.
You might get Ric Flair, though. Like, canceled man for another. Like, I can
say. Has he got some of that more mushroom penis drink that he's got to sell or something like that? Like, I've got no, it's a bit like Raw on Netflix. I have no interest in legends right now because this era is hot enough without them.
I mean that's just kind of what annoys me about current AEW is what used to annoy me about current WWE, just old men. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was saying about Randy Orton, like just sick of that guy just because he's been around for so long, you know. There's no need for legends. Maybe Goldberg, the only one, if they were going to set something up. I could see Goldberg.
It seemed like he was set for Raw, wasn't it? And then just went very, very quiet. So
I could see him, but we're both agreed on CM Punk.
Yes, please. Phil, yes.
This is a little Phil I got in Dublin last week. Come on, Phil. This is a mutton chop.
There he is. That was him at his lowest ebb, wasn't it? That was sad, Phil. That Phil was getting nowhere near the Rumble. It's a different time now.
We're going to do it this year, Phil. Yeah. Comment here from Fightful Wrestling with Sean Rossap. He says, I predict Steph's Daryl Takahashi doll will win the Rumble. He's not a doll. He's a real boy. So,
Daryl, man.
Daryl? Daryl, you're going to doll? Michael, I think we've gotten through it. I think we've done everything. Thank you so much. It was great to break down. I wish we had more time, honestly. I wish we could go through everything like bit by bit, but I think we pretty much got it. I mean, and it's nice to have a fellow punk CM Punk fan supporter, member of the Phil Brooks army joining me.
There's a lot of people with their punk derangement syndrome out there, you know. You've got to kind of work it. Feels like that gif for the person mopping the tide sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's got to be somebody sticking up from.
Michael, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, whether it be in video form, podcast form, in person. Tell us all about what the doctor Fed is up to in the world.
I'm terrible at plugs at the best of time, but the surgery is quite full right now. So if for anybody who wonders who the hell they're looking at right now with a face as square as the screen that Stephanie's put me in, I'm on What Culture Wrestling. We do daily wrestling podcasts where we preview and review Raw, SmackDown, AEW and NXT. That's 5 days a week. There's at least two podcasts a day coming out on that. Audio and video, wherever you get your podcasts. I do Benno and Hamflet In Your House, where we are chronologically revisiting the entire In Your House series every single week. And as sort of Steph alluded to there, What Culture are going on tour. This is the biggest and dumbest thing we have ever attempted yet. We've done live shows previously for, say, WrestleMania weekends in Philadelphia and New York. We've done things in Cardiff and London. If you've ever been able to come to our live shows before, they're a really great time. instead of people shouting at you over the internet, you actually just get to have nice times with people in real life. It's sort of the opposite of a comment section. But we are going on tour. If you're going to see WWE's tour here in the UK, there's a good chance we're going to be in your town. We're going to be in Manchester on the, I think it's the 20th of March, Belfast on the 21st, Glasgow for the Monday night Raw taping, and London for the Friday night SmackDown taping. That's in association with Sweet Chin Disco. Tickets are not available yet, but if you follow me at Michael Hamflett on Twitter slash X, if you follow at What Culture WWE, you can register now for special pre-sale access. They're going to be going on sale a little bit early for the people that have signed up for the pre-sale, and that's going to be like within the next couple of weeks or so. We're really excited. Simon Miller, the one from What Culture People Actually Like, he's going to be there. The rest of us are going to be on stage. It's going to be like a live version of the podcast and all the stuff that we do on the channel, playing out on stage. Loads of meet and greets, loads of pints, loads of good stuff. You know the crack. We'd absolutely love to see anybody watching this now in the UK that fancies it.
I mean, I don't want to cost you any sales, but I will definitely be attending the Belfast event. So hopefully, hopefully that doesn't put the viewers in Belfast off. But
This is a video contract now. Like you've said that, like you know, when it's on the internet, it must be true. So you're going to be held to that now. So yeah,
I might even bring Daryl. He loves
get him bed. Along. Get well, we might need people to fill the seats. Bring him along.
I've got more than just Daryl. I could
take that Undertaker merch out, man. We can just have a line at the back looking like the Ministry of Darkness. It's fine. It's all good.
Oh, man. I mean, there should be, maybe I could do a little show and tell segment with my Undertaker merch. Michael, thank
Respecting
you.
The business with Stephanie Chase.
Yeah. Michael, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. Everyone, please go follow Michael. Subscribe to What Culture. I listen to you guys every day. Currently,
thank you very much.
Currently, at my mom's, so when I put it on the big living room TV, she's like, oh, these guys again? Like, yeah, it's every day. It's every day.
that's the perfect plug. Get us on your big tellies. We're offending parents' sensibilities everywhere.
And also, of course, Benno and Hamflett in your house. I've been absolutely loving those shows, the main shows and the housekeeping. It's really good for anyone that, whether you were around at the time of the In Your House shows or whether you're going back because now it's on Netflix and it's so accessible, it's really fun to watch you and Benno break everything down. And I love your chemistry. You're such a great little couple.
We're often opening the door for house guests, you know, so... Just keep your ear to the ground because there might come a day where we where you can surf our sofa for one of our In Your House reviews.
Yes, maybe. Yes, maybe.
You can bring your 2001 Fed duvet. It's fine. Like, we haven't got any spare linen at the In Your House, the Benham and Hamflett In Your House, so just bring that along and you can crash on the sofa.
I turn up with my little Fed duvet, the pillowcase, and a lunchbox, and an Undertaker as well. I have an Undertaker bear too. Oh my gosh, I just remember. Oh, I have a bear that's dressed up as the Undertaker, and he has a Sarah tattoo on his neck. And on that note, on that fantastic note, I will end things here. Thank you once again, Michael. Go check out everything we mentioned. Thank you, everyone that watched. I don't even know what my next prediction show will be. Oh, it will probably be AW Revolution. I doubt I'll do a Grand Slam one because, I mean, if they don't care about it, why should I? But maybe I will. that was too honest, right? But anyway, everyone, enjoy the Royal Rumble, and I'll see you next time. Thanks again, Michael, and bye.
Yes, yeah.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.